You may go ahead and be seated since it's Trinity Sunday and it's going to be a long journey, so get ready. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks. We'll start with the standard joke. It's been a while, you know, I haven't told a joke. Let's see, it's the top 10 jokes here. A priest, a rabbi, and a pastor going to a bar. Nope, I won't do that one. That's not a good one for here. St. Peter decided to take the day off to go fishing. So Jesus offered to keep an eye on the pearly gates. He is not sure what to do, so Peter tells him to find out a bit about people as they arrive in heaven, and this will help him decide if he can let them in. After a while, Jesus sees a little old man with white hair approaching who looks very, very familiar. He asks the old man to tell him about himself. The old man says, "I had a very sad life. I was a carpenter and had a son who I lost at a relatively young age. And although he was not my natural child, I loved him dearly." Jesus welled up with emotion. He threw his arms around the old man and cried, "Daddy?" The old man replied, "Pinocchio?" So the deal with the Trinity, it's our language in the church. It's been, people have died trying to define this thing. So if you read the Athanasian Creed, you're covered. If you believe that, that's great. And if you don't, well, that's okay too. You know, because you're written in the Book of Life if you're here, so you're good with God. But there's this new book I got called Wearing God by Lauren Winter. Wearing God, Clothing, Laughter, Fire, and Other Overlooked Ways of Meeting God. So we have this image of this Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. We did that great prayer in the beginning. But this book, Wearing God, which I checked out from the library, it's available at the library. The very first quote is from Sally McFaig, one of my favorite theologians, and this is what she says. It's on just the introduction, and this chapter is about the God who runs after your friendship, kind of like the image of the Spirit moving around and catching us as leaves and putting us in the Book of Life. That's the goal of God. God wants to be our friends. That's what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. "You are my friends." So this is what Sally McFaig writes. "The best metaphors always give both a shock and a shock of recognition." So when we're talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when we're talking about a leaf gatherer, whatever image we're talking about God, it's a metaphor for God. And with metaphors, they give both a shock and a shock of recognition. So I want you to watch this video. Now, this is the introduction to our mobile visual unit, our MVU. Now, we've used this in Thursday church quite extensively, and if you've come to Thursday church, Pizza with Jesus, that's great. We're going to stop the Thursday church for the summer. So, and then start again in the fall also, so I can go maybe use that softball equipment, play a little bit, and cheer on as well. But that's not the real reason. It's just it's time to take a break from that. So we'll start in the fall. But the idea with this is kind of the introduction into this sanctuary. There's been video and stuff here before, but I just want you to watch this film just to start off with. This all relates to the Trinity. Trust me. Go ahead. All right, that better have hit you like it hit me the first time I saw it. You know, I'm looking for material for Thursday church and the gift, and it's like, oh, that sounds good. And I didn't really read what the caption was about, but if you didn't get it, that was about pets, you know, and how we treat pets and adopting pets, and then if pets don't turn, I mean, that's the image. But like Sally McFaig says about metaphors, that metaphor of a child, you know, a dog is like a child. You want to take care of them like you would a child. And if you don't take care of them like a child, that's what it looks like. And that can be the power of images of God. So there's another quote in here. Dang, this book is good. And this is only on page 16. I'm only in the first chapter. We're going to have to study this book here. But this is from Barbara Brown Taylor. And this is she's one of my favorite preachers. I mean, she's just racking up all my favorite people in here, quoting people. But this is what she says about Jesus. The child became a man, and the man became a preacher whose sermons were full of commonplace things. Seeds and nets, coins and fishes, lilies of the field and birds of the air. Wherever he was, he had a knack for looking around him and weaving what he saw into his sermons. Whether it was sparrows for sale in the marketplace, laborers lining up for their pay, or a woman glimpsed through a doorway needing her family's bread. The kingdom of heaven is like this, he said over and over again, comparing things they knew about with something they knew nothing about. And all of a sudden, what they knew had cracks in it. Cracks they had never noticed before, through which they glimpsed bright and sometimes frightening new realities. Every created thing was fraught with divine possibility. Wasn't that what he was telling them? Even ho-hum details of their days was a breadcrumb of leading them into the presence of God, if they would just pick up the trail and follow. So, you know, we have the Trinity. That's a standard thing. And because of Barbara Brown Taylor, I want to give you a couple of other images of Trinity, maybe. We'll see if these are more common. Well, I mean, you've got Creator, Liberator, Advocate. I kind of like those words. Creator, God our Creator. Jesus liberates us. And the Spirit is an advocate. Or you've got I ate at Olive Garden yesterday, and it was delicious, by the way. And so you have God as the Olive Garden God. Do you know that one? You have the person who bakes the bread, the baker. You have the breadstick of life, if you like those breadsticks, which I do a lot. And then you have this person, this advocate, kind of like the Holy Spirit, who is your weight person, who serves you and gives you suggestions about things. Maybe if you enjoy wine, hey, this is a nice little pairing. Or, you know, I'd like the seafood fettuccine, but can I have shrimp only? Oh, absolutely. So you have that. Or, like I suggested, maybe God is the leaf catching God for you. I mean, all of these images, I love that image, the cracks of divinity in common things. So we have these images of God, and I would suggest these images of God, if they're not provoking you to think where the divine is, then try some new images on for size. So that video we saw relates very much to this term that I've talked about repeatedly because I can't get out of my mind, unaccompanied children. And I've mentioned that before, and I'm going to say it again. And Jenny Bona gave me the image also of a study when she did a study in the East Coast of throwaway kids, kind of like the image that we saw in The Gift. These kids go through our school districts, and they have no friends, no family, no support. They're on their own. I just got an email from the school district because, you know, if you're a volunteer and you sign up for various things, you get emails. I got an email saying there were 6 graduates from Timberline High School, unaccompanied children. Now, this is, for me, it's fantastic. 6 kids who, on their own, made it through the school district. You know, our daughter is graduating in theory. Maybe we should keep her another year. We'll see. But she should probably go to college. But these kids graduated on their own, and the email was to solicit some gifts, you know, for them as they leave. Because they have nothing. They have nothing. And the staff at the school will do that, I'm sure. Unaccompanied children. So, like I've said before, and this relates to something that we're talking about now, this Clean Kids program, the number one need for homeless kids in our school district, and there's about 650 right now, is laundry services. And so I've written about it in a newsletter, and I'm just going to tell you now, Clean Kids, the idea is the kids come to the church, and we convert one of the Sunday school rooms into a laundry, a private laundry. 3 washers, 3 dryers, and through the homeless support person, they give the people who need it vouchers, and they come here. And I've talked with some people who have started to, we've made a list of people who might accompany those who come here to help with laundry. And that's the number one need. And if there's the number one need, and we can figure out how to do that, why would we not do that? So, you know, we've been talking about and trying to figure out with electricity and plumbing, if that's a thing. And then and talking with my college roommate who happens to be on the North Thurston Education Foundation board, and Pastor Beth is now on that board too. It's amazing how these things all work out. But I asked him, I said, do you have any funds? Because they give out scholarships. And he said, well, I don't know, maybe. And he talked with the executive board, and they got excited about, you know, meeting the number one need, and they met together. And so I have in my hands right here, Pastor Beth just gave me this letter with a check enclosed for $4,200. So, I don't know what your image of God is, but all of my image of God's have to do with God gathering and collecting and making whole. And being an advocate and being a voice when we don't have a voice. And so this Clean Kids program, meeting the needs of laundry for unaccompanied children and homeless children in our school district, I mean, that's our God working through us. You know, I have the shirt, God's work, our hands. That's God working through us. So, you know, this was the easy one. Uh-oh, everybody was very quiet when I said this was the easy one. I believe, and I don't know how you hear God's voice. You know, in that first reading, Isaiah, the Isaiah is standing in front of the throne of God, and God's asking, who shall I send? And it's like, Isaiah says, not me, you know, I'm not worthy. God cleanses him, and he's worthy. Maybe this is what's next. Unaccompanied children, because I can't shake this image. It's like that dog. I can't get rid of the image. Maybe it's our job as St. Mark Church, being God's hands, to accompany the children in the school district. And it may be just to start with one, or one kid, because if you read, which I've done a lot of research lately, if you read about kids, I mean, they're survivors, you know, and they may not be able to embrace the help that we have to offer. But I think somebody might. And can you imagine that? Us being God's hands, like the leaves, just collecting, just starting with one leaf. And it might not be this great, big, beautiful leaf. It might be just this unaccompanied kid. And coming to us. And then we can be the family of God for this person. And we can love them and show them mercy and forgiveness. And maybe we create a house for them. Because that's the next big thing, housing. Because that's what I asked the person. When we met to talk with the person, Brenda is her name, about what are the needs. Laundry is a number one need. Done. But not done. There's still a lot to do. The details, I understand. But I said, dream big. What's the big thing? What's the big thing? It's housing. And maybe it's just one person that we could accompany. And imagine that 13-year-old or 14-year-old who has nobody, just a leaf blowing, trying its best to figure it out. And we accompany them. We collect them. We say, you are a valued child of God. Like the Romans text says, you've been adopted. You're a sibling with Christ. You're part of our family. You're in the book of life with us. We got you like this, and we're going to accompany you to be this. A full-grown leaf, accompanied with the grace and mercy and peace of God. The kind of God I know and the images that come to me and the God who loves me, I think that's what God wants. So, we'll see. Is it a thing? We'll see. We have a big God who goes by many names. We just need to listen. Amen.